Gila just blessed the beat.
Everybody, this is Shauna the Songbird,
and this is Shahari,
and welcome to another episode of Why the Songbird Sings. So Shahari, I know it hasn't been too long since our last recording, so like, what's been new in this brief amount of time for you?
With the literal 7 days, nothing. Nothing at all. I chilled out for the weekends. We had a half day on Friday, so I came home and I got some chores done, so I didn't have to do anything on Sunday. And then Saturday I chilled, I watched the broadcast, and then Sunday my neighbors, they did my my bushes outside. And they get rid of some wasp nests.
Amen.
I was out there with them, of course. But yeah, they did that. And there were a lot of little wasp nests on my front porch and around my house. So they helped me out with that. And then they clipped my bushes that really needed to be clipped. And I took your stuff to the storage shed. Car washed. And I got some coconut milk, since for some reason I couldn't get it off Walmart pickup, even though I got it from the same Walmart. You know,
that's weird.
So
that's fucking weird.
That's what's been happening since now I work today, and yeah, I'm off again on Friday because my boss just said we're gonna be off on Friday. It's like, very good.
Oh, don't we love that? Don't we love the random, hey, don't show up Friday because I'm not going to be here. I don't want you here. All right, bet.
Yeah, that's what's going down. So I'll try to see what somebody's doing on Friday, or I'll see what's happening. But that's what's happened since those 7 days ago.
Nice. For me, I'm currently in Alabama. Yesterday was my mom's birthday.
Oh, congratulations.
Amen. It's a blessing. A beautiful time. I was very shocked because she my mom, she typically does not like to take pictures. Neither does my dad, really. So I don't know where I come from with the whole loving to be in the camera. But I was shocked.
Somebody else.
I don't know, because many of my family members don't like taking pictures. It was like, it's me.
Somebody out there. There's somebody.
It's somebody. But after me, the younger kids, they will take pictures. the kids after me. But what I was to say, so it was really interesting because literally we went to the restaurant and everything, and they had a little stage, and so she said, help me up on stage, and she got on top of the stage and was taking pictures, and she was asking to take her picture and stuff like that. So okay, then I see you.
It's renewing, it's refreshing.
Right, she'll smile, and she doesn't like her smile. So like, she smiled for a few of them, and then she was like, I don't like that. And then I was like, okay, I was like, well, at least you over here excited and everything. So it touched me in a good way. I was very happy to see my mom happy. And yeah, and then other than that, I'm traveling back to New York. To call it on like midweek this week. So, but yeah, so it's so that's pretty much it with me and just getting all my other travel plans together. I finally found dresses for the weddings. So yay. And
the weddings.
Yes.
And multiple and plural.
Yes. So it's two weddings. It would have been three, but the third one, I got uninvited because I almost broke up the wedding. So
wow.
Yeah, I almost broke up the bride and groom, but I'm not gonna get into that because that's a little messy.
Yeah, I guess it is a little messy.
So it's okay, you know.
I already have questions, but I don't know if I want to know it. I kind of already know who it is, but I'm not gonna, or maybe I don't know who it is.
You don't know who it is. Okay, this is somebody that you don't know.
That's even better. So I need to know that.
You don't know who this is. I learned my lesson. Excuse me. I just learned my lesson in sometimes in doing the right thing. Well, what you perceive as the right thing can sometimes cause you to lose people who you thought you were close to. So it's just like, oh, I lost two friends in the process. To be honest, I mean, I know a lot of people, so I mean, it's not like I'm hurting for interactions with people. So
they must not have been real friends if you're not hurting at all. So it's all right.
One of them kind of hurt, but it's just like, oh well. Nevertheless, but yeah, and so so I finally got that stuff together, and I'm like in a constant sense of planning as far as like all this traveling I'm doing. So that's it with me. It was so peaceful to be suspended in a moment in time where you feel like you're done. At this moment, you have been tired in those nights of sitting and praying in the bathroom that you'll be stripped away from the confusions and cruelty of this world. This moment, your lungs closed and squeezed, holding on to the small reservoir of air inside, and your muscles so used to pushing and pulling and kicking to get over to the other side. Stop. Ooh, it feels so good to rest. For most of your existence to be tense and constantly maneuvering to stay alive and enjoy the refreshing upside of it all. Your eyes once open faintly, seeing the light slightly diving through, but you felt more comfortable in darkness. It was there when the world wasn't judging you. You didn't have to constantly play the mind games of society, nor grow up. Yet over and over again, you get reminded that it is not that time yet. So you had to continue until one day when you were once again trying to escape and you found peace in the sun. When you're older, you will fear the dark and will, without control, for the first time, move closer to the sun, embrace the sun, and soak all of it because you absolutely deserve it. Kisses and love, Shauna the Songbird Kelly. This face, stop it. Stop. I feel like you're gonna drag me.
To your infant self.
I was not talking to my infant self. But
a yes would have been better. Now I don't even want to know who you were talking to.
Why you think my infant self?
Because you're talking about your lungs collapsing. Like infants don't breathe, and then you're talking about scraping.
Infants do. Are you talking about a fetus?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so there's a difference. No, I'm not talking to the fetus.
Whatever it's called, you know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, and also I was born with my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, so I mean, I was already trying to
dancing like a damn fairy inside the womb. Of course, you had to come out extra, causing panic. You couldn't just be born like everybody else.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so with the scraping and clawing of the muscles and the exhale of all the oxygen in the lungs, I mean, who could you have possibly, what stage of life could you have been in?
So I think it was like 2 episodes ago where we were talking about swimming, and I was talking about the fact that I couldn't float or whatever, but I can swim from side to side. And so I didn't learn how to swim until college. When did my dad push me into the deep end? Somehow I end up in a deep end in the water, and I was vacationing with my dad and my step siblings at the time, and I end up learning how to swim there. But prior to that, I could not swim, but I always loved the water. Even now, I still love the water. And so it was a time, it was multiple times actually, when I was a child that I was in the water and pretty much just like almost drowned in a sense. I couldn't get to a part to where I could stand. You know, I'm already short, so like so
yes,
I was
you are that, yes.
So I was a short little thing. I didn't get above 4'11" until high school. I think high school was when I had my growth spurt.
And your growth spurt was an inch?
I went from 4'11" to 5'3". Don't do that.
Oh, within 1 year? Or within the whole 4 years?
No, it was like a couple, I think within the year. It was like randomly, I just kind of whoop. It was like I was the same height as my mom, who's 4'11". And then eventually I was like, I'm slowly looking down at her. Okay.
You don't really look down at her now.
I do.
You don't.
And what's it called? And I think my aunt, I think she's 5'4", 5'5". But like my aunt was able to look down at me. So like when I was able to like get closer to her, I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting some inches.
So don't back do to the swimming thing. So you were crawling and scraping. You swim?
No, I didn't say crawling. I said the pushing and pulling and kicking to try to get to the other side. So
like birth. You described birth.
Nevertheless, but for that one particular moment I remember. I can't remember exactly because like I said, it happened multiple times, but this one time I was tired. I was like, all right, I still cannot reach the top. I'm like, I'm not floating. I'm just like steadily like sinking to the bottom. And like I saw the actual light above me, not the light. And it was like, no matter what I did, I still couldn't reach it. And so, I mean, I couldn't reach the top. So I was like, all right, so I guess this is it. So then I just kind of like just closed my eyes, and I had already used all my oxygen, whatever. And yeah, and so I just was like, all right, I'm just gonna just sink down. And then, but it was somebody like tried to like grab me or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can like pull myself together now. Cause I had not hit the bottom yet either. I was literally just kind of like just there. I had not hit the bottom, nor was I floating to the top at that point. So it was just like, I was just literally suspended in the water.
Like a hippopotamus. They just sink.
They're so cute.
No, they know. They're the most deadliest animals in the world.
I mean, yes, they are deadly, but like, have you seen a baby hippo? They're precious.
I wasn't describing a baby hippo.
I know. You're describing like a full-blown adult. Yes. Yes. I know they are quite deadly. They are. But the baby hippos are super cute, though. And so they become adults and they open their mouths. And then at that point, it's just like, I'd rather not have you around.
Yeah. So at the end of this reflections, how did it make you feel getting to the sun?
And so, yeah, so it's a comforting thing to, you know, to go from a state of, because as a child, I did have moments where like I kind of felt like I would go into the bathroom, I would like pray to like be taken away or whatever, and because I was just like, I was kind of tired of like how I had to like maneuver, to be honest. Even at a young age, I had a maneuver life, and so I was just like I'm sick of this. But to like know that like, even despite all of that, it's just like I was constantly reminded that it's so much more out there, so much more for me to do, it's so much more purpose, you know. It's nice and it's good. And you know, when you feeling and soaking the sun, similar to our artwork, you know, it's a good feeling. So yeah.
All right, very good. That was a nice birth story. And we all got it, the transition, and it feels good to be in the sun now. We made it to the top. And we're going to keep going, reaching the next top.
Amen.
Right. Anything else to add to your reflections?
No, that was it.
Right, we like to hear comments on Shinana's reflections. We like to hear back on your thoughts of the birthing.
That's going to be the title. That's going to be the title, the birthing. That is it. I've said it.
Let us know your thoughts on Why the Songbird Sings podcast at gmail.com. On Facebook at Why the Songbird Sings, on Instagram at Why the Songbird Sings. And is there something else?
Oh, we have the TikTok.
I do not have TikTok and I'm not downloading it again, but it is WTSS mm-hmm. and TikTok.
And I might end up doing a Twitter and a YouTube shortly. I'm just not really tech and social media. And like, Twitter is work, but you guys typically have lots of interactions on Twitter, I've noticed. And so I might do us a Twitter account. Just bear with me, because I use my Twitter for porn. So if we have like, if that's a miss of login, I am sorry.
All right. Are we ready for the next segment?
Yes. Give us some words of light.
Here is Words of Light with Shahari. And today, we're still on that how you think of yourself that we're still working with right now. So I'm going to read this devotional from See What God Sees, Bigger Than Your Doubts. This is from the Bible app. I'm going to be reading it as if I am God speaking to you. So,
come on. Here we go. This, come on, give me a voice. Come on, I'm ready.
Now you're making me nervous now.
Don't be nervous.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, baby, you should have said that. I'm just like, oh, I'm ready. I feel like I'm finna get
this. Gonna be okay. Okay.
I'm gonna get chills and shookers.
It can be exhausting, can't it? This preoccupation with comparison. When I see you doing that, I am close to you. Did you know? But you don't see me. I am close, but you can't find me. My very breath, your breath, and you forget what it is that you breathe. Let me purify you. Let me remind you how you are complete in me. Eyes on me, son. Eyes on me, daughter. Eyes on me. When you breathe me in, when you choose to see me first, everything else looks different. There is no preoccupation with what you don't have, with how you are less than, with how you need to be more of this or less of that. What is it you think you lack? This is the question I ask you to wrestle with now. Think it through. Take a deep breath. Write this down. What is it that I believe I lack? Yes, write down the question and ask me. Ask me what it is you think you lack, and I will show you how what you lack is not lack. It is space. And son, daughter, you want space where I can fill you. You want space where I can come in and be your strength, your inspiration and guide. You do not want to fill your heart with what I haven't given you. That is nothing you'll ever want. That is nothing you should ever have. How I have made you is a creation who is complete. This creation has everything. There is not one thing you don't have because you are meant to have it. A talent or a gift that I forgot to give you, so you need to look for it. Spending hours, weeks, years, a lifetime, looking this way and that, wondering how it is that you are lacking what you need to be beautiful, successful, peaceful, joy-filled, complete. It is worth you are measuring when you compare yourself with another person. Here you are, trying to compare one work of art to another. How can this be? How can one work of beauty be like another? And what if two were exactly alike? I will be missing you. If you lack another work of art I have made, then my plan would not be complete. I will be looking for you, mourning the loss of the beloved I designed and adored from the beginning. I look for you now, even now, when you abandon the treasure I have given you, the you I have crafted with my two hands, my imagination, my heart, given breath to so you have life and you can relate to and have life with me, with me. You are created to become more of yourself, not more of another. So ask me to protect your heart. Ask me to be near and remind you that you are perfectly made and perfectly loved. I adore your company. I adore you. You rise and you become more complete in your fullness. And then our conversation, our time together is even richer. Oh, like you say, I can't wait. Now here's an exercise. We are experts at comparison. We compare our appearance, our jobs, our families, our relationships, our intelligence, our homes. Anything that can be measured, we measure. And the things that can't be measured, well, we find a way to determine their worth too. It is exhausting, this treadmill of comparing ourselves. We assume that we are not measuring up. We convince ourselves we are not satisfied. We focus our minds and hearts on the effort of trying to prove to others, and especially to ourselves, that we are valuable. And then we forget how perfectly made we are. We focus on ourselves, on what we believe we lack, and we take our eyes off of truth, off of God. We forget we are made precisely how he designed. We forget the miracle of who and whose we are. We forget that we don't make ourselves. We forget that already, amazingly, we are made. So take a deep breath, then ask the Holy Spirit the question, what is it I believe I lack. In the quiet, wait on him to show you. Expect him to whisper truth to your heart. In those raw, vulnerable places where you feel you are lacking, ask God to come in. Invite Jesus into each place. Jesus, with you, I lack nothing. You are my everything. I give you my heart. Restore me once more. In you, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Today's verse is coming from Romans 12 and 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That was your Words of Life segment with Shahari. Please go forth and prosper.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, now I know you're gonna talk about me. But I don't know if the listeners will receive it or caught it, but the beginning part of what you're saying, and as far as like you like speaking in the POV of God, that mixed with the moisture of your lips gave it was giving borderline eroticism, and it eventually the moisture went away. I don't know if like if you swallowed or what happened.
I don't know. I probably took it away from my mouth a little bit
because like I wasn't looking. I was like just mostly just listening, and I was like, oh, this, I was like, this sounds really deep. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, what is this moisture? It was like, I was like, okay, his mouth was just moist at this moment. And I'm like, and then what you were saying, it was not.
Okay. So yeah. That's where your mind went at the end.
No, it was at the beginning. And then like, it went away. But like the words you were saying, like, it was beautiful. I loved it, but part of me was just like,
all that.
Just like, wait, this moisture in here. And then it went away and it was like, okay, everything's fine. Everything's cool.
I have a thing for plosives, but I have to attach it and it doesn't really work on this mic.
But like I said, the audience might not hear what I heard. They may be like, this bitch tripping. But for me, it was like a level of like moisture in your mouth. And it just was not. It was not holy after in the beginning for me. So yeah. Oh, that was funny. That tickled my soul.
I'm so glad it did.
All right. So today's discussion. I don't know what made me think of it, but I was like, let's talk about the five love languages. So prior to to be honest, I did not get deep into the love languages until I was recently working in New York City. And one of my coworkers, she asked me, she was like, what are your love languages? I was like, I don't really know like fully, except that I am primarily physical touch. And so then I turned around.
That's to be expected. That was to be expected. I'll say it again. That was to be expected.
You know, you don't have to drag me.
Nothing being dragging.
Anyways, so so my primary language is physical touch. And I was in, so me and her just kind of like just kept going back and forth, and we were just talking about the primary love languages. And so I was like, it's an interesting concept. I feel like many people don't know what their love languages are, nor the benefits of knowing your love language and knowing what your partner's love language possibly might be. So I had sent you the link about the love languages. And so out of curiosity, what was your percentages?
Yeah, so in this quiz, I didn't like this quiz. Just kept asking about, do you want to get something, or do you want to touch this person, or do you want to get a gift, or do you want to hear something? It's like,
correct.
These questions. Like, okay, but out of those questions, I answered them. And my percentages are 33% quality time, 27% physical touch, 20% receiving gifts, 17% words of affirmation. I guess you don't really have to talk to me, I guess, really. 3% acts of service, meaning I can do my stuff. I just need you to be there. Yeah, that's what I got from that. Yeah. So I like to just be around people. I just like to be around you. And I guess physical touch is a big thing. I am a hugger. I like to play with people.
Honey, in this state of age, we need clarification of what you mean. I mean, because people are going
to
take
you
that.
You know, you like to just tickle or like tap on the shoulder, like play. Like,
thank you, because somebody might turn around here and be like, what? You over here telling us to this, that, and the third, and you over here playing with people? But no, I understand what you're saying, but I just wanted you to. I lost my thing with my things on there. Okay, interesting. Actually, not interesting. I feel like that's a very accurate description of you. Because mine's is primarily physical touch. Another small, the next higher percentage is quality time, and then affirmation, and then gifts is the smallest one for me.
What about acts of service?
Acts of service and gifts, I think they were really close to like being the same value. But yeah, no, acts of service is a little bit more than gifts. I had a whole app and I feel like it got deleted at some point, and I'm not going to try to re-download it at this moment. So we're gonna just keep going. But the theory of the five love languages was proposed by a Mr. Gary Chapman in 1992. And Chapman, he worked as a counselor that found couples that were not feeling love despite their partners believing they were doing all the right things for them. And so he found that patterns emerged in what his clients wanted from their partners. And five consistent patterns were later termed the five love languages. And so so the words of affirmation, if someone has like more of that as their preference, they prefer for their love being expressed through spoken word and praises and appreciation. The person who is more about quality time wants, really appreciates their love and affection being expressed through undivided attention from their partner. Those who are primarily physical touch are any way of physical affection, and it does not have to be sexual whatsoever. And someone's primary language of acts of service, they want their love expressed to them through their partner helping them out. And then with the
it's a needy person. That's a needy person. I'm just saying.
So for the person who wants to receive
I gotta gifts, do your job and my job.
The one who wants to receive gifts are those who do not necessarily expect large gifts or expensive gifts, but appreciate the thought behind them. And the big and the big thing with kind of like knowing your love languages of you and your partners or partner, however you want to navigate the world, is it kind of, because in my current relationship we did the test and we have and it's very, is an easier guide to like knowing like what's more important, like what's more prioritized for your partner. Some people they can easily pick up what is what, but it's a little bit more complicated when you have to kind of like go into like really that deep analyzing of a person. And so it's kind of like easier if the person already knows and you already know your languages, so that it can so you can actually start to like use them and implement them and kind of like help your relationship. And and that's the main like use of them, and because the use of these languages help promote a personal awareness of self and allows more awareness towards meaningful acts towards your partner. And so like you were saying, you like to play and do little stuff physically, but also what's your primary one? Quality time.
Yeah,
so you like to, it doesn't matter what you're doing with the person, you just want her around, and just y'all to just vibe doing whatever. Exactly. y'all don't even have to talk to each other. You can literally just be in a room. You can play video games, she can read a book, and you will enjoy that moment. And then if you get a little tickle wrestle, right, if you get a little tickle wrestle in, all right, that just like
sparked, I don't know about wrestle, but okay.
You know, that just kicked up the joy of it all for you.
That's like foreplay, actually. No, like that's what that is. Some tickle wrestle.
I mean, it can be foreplay, or it can just
pretty close to it.
Or you can easily just wrestle and tickle a person without it leading to anything.
Okay.
Me and my partner do it all the time. Literally, like, we'll wrestle. And it's funny because he started working out. So, like, at first, I was able to, like, overpower him. And so, don't do that. Don't do that. Even though if you guys have listened to Deep Thoughts with Iron, and one of his episodes I did talk about me lifting and slamming my last partner into the bed repeatedly because I wanted to have intercourse, and we ended up breaking the bed. It was a very interesting time.
That is terrifying.
I mean, I had just came out from the club with my friend who I knew since I was 12 years old. He came to visit me in New York City. We had just came home. He literally bought me drink after drink and shot after shot. And so I had the liquor in my system, and mama had wanted some. And I was like, you know what? I'm coming home to my partner. So, you know, what's up? And he was just like, no, you know, you're on the drunk side or whatever. I don't feel comfortable. I'm like, I am consenting that I want to have intercourse with you. And he was like, no,
whatever. You see how your voice just deepened there? That was a predator's voice. Just so that you know.
And so then I don't know how it happened, and next thing I know, what to call it, I'm over here like slamming him, like lifting him up and slamming him onto the bed, and we just kept going back and forth for that until the bed just broke and was on the ground.
And how did he feel after that?
I mean, he was still okay, but I turned around and said something rude that I forgot what I said, but I said something rude.
You called him a bitch, didn't you?
I didn't call him a bitch.
But what's the equivalent of?
What, a weak pussy asshole?
That's even worse. I'd rather take bitch than that.
I didn't say any of those things. I said something else because we were having, we didn't have issues with intimacy. We had issues having intercourse that was more so on his end. And I think I said something rude, saying that, oh, I never get to have it or something like that. And it made him feel shitty about it. So, and I kind of like pouted and just went to sleep in true drunken fashion. And I woke up and didn't remember I said that. I remember the throwing part. I didn't remember saying that until he said, yeah, it kind of hurt. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But I didn't lie though, but all right. But yeah, so nevertheless, so with my current partner, and they would not leave anything, we would legit just wrestle. And so he started working out, and so he started like wrestle and flip and whatnot. Now we don't actually like flip each other, because people have been punched accidentally during some of these matches. Yes,
that's real wrestling there. That's what I'm talking about, wrestle. Like,
That's why I say it doesn't have to be actual like sexual. You can actually actually wrestle.
Y'all acting like siblings.
I mean, I don't know. I enjoy. I mean, so it's just something to do. It's fun, as long as no one gets hurt, you know. Like I said, once someone has getting punched or someone says, ow, this hurts, you know, then it will stop. But you just wrestle. But what I was saying still, but kind of like before we took the test and really learned our love languages, he already knew that it's evident like my primary language is physical touch. So he knows like to hold my hand, like whether we're out walking around, whether we're like sitting watching TV or he'll like lay on my breast or I will like tickle his knee or something like that. Like it's, you know, just kind of just take my nails. Like, yeah. Like it's like, Claude. If you watch. Right.
You claw at his knee, okay.
Yeah, so I claw at his knee. but he knows like those are my little things that one, bring me comfort, and two, allow me to show like my comfortability and my affection towards another person. And his primary is quality time. So like for us, like because we are thousands of miles away constantly, we do like virtual dates, and we even started, we got a world on Minecraft, and like literally like we'll have a date where we'll talk on Discord and we'll play Minecraft together. And like we made like a little house and got a little farm and stuff like that. And like, you know, just trying to find cute little things. We'll turn around and like do online chess or watch, or like sit and watch a movie and talk about stuff, like anything to like kind of have like time spent with each other is like his main thing. And like those were easy to really notice, but it's like those other percentages is like those are like subtle nuances that you have to really get deep into, like figuring out, like, you know, does my partner really like this? Does my partner really care for that? And like once you kind of know that, it's kind of like you can prioritize, like especially if it's like comes to like gifts, if it comes to, you know, anything special, you can prioritize of like what will make them happiest.
Yes, yeah, yeah, you got it.
I was like, wait a minute, that don't sound right. So
so the love languages have worked out for you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, they've done a wonderful job. And and I definitely recommend for people to, like, you know, look up the little quizzes. Yeah, they get kind of confusing and with the wording and stuff like that. But for the most part, it can be a wonderful tool for you, and even with your friendships as well. Like, because we have to still remember, like, with friendships, those are still relationships, and you still express your love and affection towards people, even though it's a platonic manner. You kind of still operate the same way. Because if you are more so like words of affirmation, then, you know, you might want to be around friends that be like, hey, good job, you doing that. Like,
yours is physical touch.
First of all.
Uh-huh. Please explain.
First of all. So with my friendships, I am a hugger. I love to hug my friends. I mean, there's been times where, like,
you clawed him?
I haven't clawed.
Yes, you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I was going to say, I haven't clawed my friends in a... Yeah, it's been a while. I miss it.
It's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I miss it. Shoot. It brought me comfort.
So we're just supposed to let you hug us, what you're saying?
But, I mean, of course.
Because I'd be like, no, we just dap up.
I mean, you dapping me up, that's still physical touch.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Right, it's still physical touch.
You'll end up a hug, and they'll turn into a bear hug, and then it'll turn into like a rapture. With claws and spine breaking.
That just means that I have lots of love for you. That is all that means. The more involved I am in the physical touch, the more I have affinity for you. Because there have been friends, like, we've like held hands or like kissed each other on the cheek or kissed on the lip or whatever, and it's nothing sexual. It's just kind of like, mwah, mwah, like just
good friends. None of your slave people, right?
No, these are okay. No, I don't think I've kissed one of them.
I would hope not.
Like, that's not their purpose. Anyways, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But there's ways to navigate that, I'll even sit on people's laps or whatever, or sit on people. Like, Danny came to my mom's birthday dinner the other day. So literally, like, she sat down and I sat on her lap and she was scrolling through her phone. Like, for me, like, it's comfort. It's, yeah. And so, and literally you can take every one of these. gift receiving. Now, this one I know for me is like a small percentage, because for me, I really don't care about gifts, but more so like I do enjoy giving gifts. I am more of a gift giver. So like, I feel like my whole thing of like receiving gifts as a love language is more so like me giving gifts. But the gift giving is kind of like tied into one's like act of service for me. Cause for me, like for you to do stuff for me, I can see that as a gift. Being a person who is a little bit more on the independent side, you doing something for me, or just even having the want to do something for me would be a comforting thing and makes me go, ah, you care about me.
Am I supposed to explain my stuff now?
I'm going to say, do you feel like yours are like, because I mean, I see all those percentages with you, to be honest. The physical touch one was for it to be so high, I was shook, but I was like, okay, I can see you doing such things.
To be honest, I like to lean on people, and at one point sober? In time, like it is like my elbow on your shoulder or something. Like I've done that.
You did that sober?
Because
I know when you were drunk, baby.
As far as physical touch, I like to play, and I like to play, and I like to lean on people.
What's wrong with your first one? Your first one, which was quality time.
Quality time. I just like to be around people who actually want to be around me. And they also have some understanding of me. I know that I'm not like a really big talker person, but I do talk if I'm comfortable enough. And for some reason, some people find me funny. I don't know what I'd be saying that'd be so funny, but some people find me somewhat funny.
Thank you, goddamn hilarious.
And I don't be telling no joke, but they be laughing. And I'm
you
like,
really
okay.
Don't. You be so serious. I think that's what comedians do. They really are serious about what they're saying. Like, I haven't heard a comedian actually tell a lie. All the comedians tell truth. It's just how they deliver it. And I feel like you just probably give it, your delivery of it makes it seem comical.
Because of my facial expressions, probably.
Oh yeah, that too.
And yeah. But yeah, quality time, I just like to be around people that I like to be around. You don't necessarily have to do a lot. You don't have to talk. You just do what you're doing. And we're here. We're living. The physical touch, I do like to lean and play. I said the lean and play. Lean and play.
All right, your foreplay.
Because there are some people, that's like the conductor at my job. Mm-hmm. We just had a conversation. Two conversations, because I had to get the music. So we had to talk, converse every once in a while. I had to sit down with him. So, and then there's one time where he came in for a board meeting. And for some reason, he found that it was comfortable to hug me. And I was like, where is this coming from? Like, why are you hugging me? I didn't know
that. That's very interesting, especially with you being a Black man. Like, that's
like, why
that's
is this
powerful
happening?
That's really powerful, to be honest. Most Caucasian
like,
people
why?
Don't hug Black people, but they don't know them like that.
I guess for some reason that quality time that he had with me felt like we could that we were.
Well, his cool primary like language might be physical touch.
I don't think it's physical touch. I really don't think. He's kind of quirky.
You never know. And that quality time probably allowed him to have that comfortability with you in order to show that side of his affection.
To be honest, I was surprised. I'm like, what? As far as receiving gifts, I guess I do like getting gifts, but I don't expect them. But unlike you, I also like to give gifts. I've always been a gift giver since childhood. Since I've got my little allowance money, I would get my little plastic gifts and give them to my cousins and uncles. I would give my uncles like $5 gift cards and stuff, like $10 gift cards, even when I was a child. So I do like to give gifts. As far as receiving them, I like receiving gifts too.
So that's why I was wondering, because that was my duality with that one, was can giving the gift be associated with it? And I really haven't found an answer for it, but that's one thing I wondered. I mean, because of course, you know, people, you know, enjoy receiving a gift here and there, but like if you primarily, well, I feel like when you take in the quiz, your score is going to be higher if you are more of a gift giver than receiver.
I mean, based on the questions, it seemed like it was always would you rather receive a gift or this? Like almost everything was like that.
Okay.
But I guess I mean, I'm down to get a gift, but I don't expect one, you know, like regularly. And on the words of affirmation, yeah, I don't need encouragement. I need encouragement, but it's not high on my list. My source of encouragement comes from my father above, because that's just who I usually go to anyway, because most people around me typically don't do that for me. So I've grown accustomed to get it from him.
But if you were to receive it from friends or family, or
literally have a hard time taking compliments, like literally
somebody calls me
and I don't like, I'm
you
like,
do.
I don't like taking compliments. I'm one of those people that I guess my self-esteem has gotten so low that I can't even take a compliment. But
I used to be like, I'd be like, oh my God, just take it. Just
I guess that's why it's so low at 70%, where I don't like taking compliments, but I have a hard time saying thank you for compliments, especially.
Because you'll just be like, I guess. And I'm like, sir, like I'm telling you how things are. I'm saying they're not as bad as you think they are in your mind. And you just like,
and in my mind, they're going to continue to be as bad as I think they are.
And you just like, no, this is terrible, blah blah blah. I'm just like, no, it's not bad. And like, trying to help you shift your mindset. And
it's taken decades. But yeah, so that's the worst affirmation. Like, I have a hard time taking compliments. So
do you think that? Now knowing this information, like, does it help you, like, with yourself and like how you kind of like view yourself, or how you, or make you notice something that you didn't notice before, maybe with yourself?
When I look in the mirror, sometimes I'm like, you're nice looking. It's like you're act. I can see why. You get attention everywhere you go. But at the same time, I don't want that attention. So it's a conundrum. Like, I see why I get the attention, but I also don't want the attention.
I don't want to fight you so bad.
And then, of course, like, people talk. Not everybody's saying a compliment. And so I think that's what I focus on more, is the non-compliments. Because I seem to get more of those than the compliments.
I mean, I understand that. However, because I too get negative comments as well. And I feel like I get more negative than positive many times, or it'd be those backhanded compliments, and it's understandable. However, you have to you gotta keep pushing past those and know that those are not the truth. That may be their truth, but they don't have to be your truth, which I think we talked about that on this podcast before. Like it's like your truth versus like their truth.
Okay. Yeah, it will be a work in progress on the words of affirmation for me. Yes.
So do you think
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I was about to say, do you think that you will utilize this information as you are dating and everything and maybe bring this up to your possible dates, I guess?
Like on a date and immediately start talking about love languages? I don't know.
I wouldn't say like immediately start talking about it, but like, you know, ease it in at some point, especially if you think it's going to actually go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some vulnerability. So yeah,
correct. That's why I said, like, if you feel like you and this person is going somewhere, I feel like it's beneficial for y'all to turn around. I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to the audience, BTW, for y'all to turn around and like have this kind of conversation, because I feel like with you now knowing like how kind of like how each language operates, whatever, and if a person be like, oh yeah, my primary is this, my next, like my top three, like be like, what are your top three? You can kind of like get an understanding of like how the person may possibly be and and how you might need to navigate that particular person. Just try it.
Right, you just said a lot of words and honestly you lost me. But I get the gist of what you were saying. You're talking about use the five love languages to help get to know the person better.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And hopefully it would create better relationships. Whether you're using it for actual like dating, serious dating. I would not recommend using like getting deep into this like for I guess friends with benefits, but like the way people operate with friends with benefits nowadays, like it's really less friend and friends with benefits nowadays, and it's more of a benefit. And I feel like the benefits may be few. if people know what I mean. But when it comes to like serious relationships, whether they're platonic or romantic, I feel like utilizing these things are important. You know, now you don't have to utilize this when you have your side dude and everything. And I looked at you and I had thought about the video I sent you on Facebook where the side dude met the main dude and at like nothing happened or whatever. And you was like, does this happen? And I was like, apparently so, if they made a skit about it.
Yeah, I was like, wow. And they both played along perfectly. And so nothing happened. And then the side dude became friends with the main dude at the end. I was like, that is a mess.
So I'm just like, you don't probably need such deepness when it comes to like your side people, but you know, for your primary person, I feel like this is because one episode I had wanted to talk about that video, and so like I feel like we might do a discussion on one of our no fucks given episodes where we'll probably talk about the whole side dude, side chick, side person situation.
Yeah, that would be a light topic.
Especially with Indy. And that would be an interesting light topic, I feel like, unless the audience gives us like one of their experiences, and it might be maybe get a little deep. Who knows? But yeah, so that is all I had, was like, you know, talk about the love languages and their benefits. you know, and of course, don't, you know, try to like use it as the Bible, you know, it's just kind of like it's one of those things to kind of like just have in the back of your head to be mindful of. So
I agree.
But say
this was good. This was a good, that was a good topic. Good job.
Thank you. I had wanted it to be light because I feel, because I remember editing the last one. I was like, oh, like it got a little heavy for a moment. Yeah, real heavy, but
well, that wasn't a light topic, so
it was not. But I must say, the 8 prayers that you did. So I realized that I left in the beginning because I remember I had to pee and I had to, and I missed part of it. So like when I was editing that, I was like, okay, I hear why I left the call or whatever, but I listened to it over and over again. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm like, this is, yeah, I've literally just listened to those 8 prayers like literally maybe like 6 times since I've been traveling.
Very good. He's still working on me because they still get on my nerves, but anyway.
Well, I haven't been back to work, so we're gonna see how it's gonna be. We're gonna see when I go back. But yeah, everyone, if you have nothing else to add, we will wrap it up. Anything?
No, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, cool.
Get that part out.
All right. So if you guys want to reach out to us and if you want to comment or give us some of your tales or even share like how you use the 5 love languages, or if you turn around and use them and tell us like your results of you using them after finding out about them, hit us up on whythesongbirdsingspodcast@gmail.com, whythesongbirdsings on Facebook and on Instagram, on our TikTok, WTSS. We have a few videos, but hopefully we will have more. We're sorry, we are trying to and have a hot girl and it's a hot boy summer. Is that what they call it? Hot boy summer? I don't know. We're trying to enjoy our summer while working and doing everything else. So hit us up and we will comment and maybe talk about it on the show if you would like. And so until next time, bye.
Bye.
Reflection.